Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. A perfect analogy for this is I was talking to a friend who's a lifeguard, and he said the most dangerous thing in the world is not what he was doing in the ocean, but you go to a drowning person, you would think, oh my gosh, they're going to be so appreciative. They'll follow commands. They're fighting for their life. They'll do whatever you need. He's like, oh no, they will drown you. A lot of our training is what to do. So if you're drowning, and you might even have literally your actual savior coming to you that will save you, and you'll pull him right under with you. Not because you're malicious, you're freaking out. You are in a panic, anxiety, fearful mode, and you'll grab onto anything and inhibit that guy or gal from saving you. The solution's right there, but that freak out. And if you just had hope, oh my gosh, this guy's going to save me. It's going to be okay. I'm just going to relax and wait. That would be super effective. But when you're like, I'm going to die, I got to have a breath, I'm just going to hold on to this guy or gal, you'll drag him right down with you.
So that's a good example of, and it's a more extreme example so that we can make the point.
But I think we feel that way. I think we feel like we're drowning. We feel like our baby's dying, you know?
Right. So let's take Renee as an example. We love Renee, by the way. She's amazing.
And but asterisk, super coachable. Totally. She's just like, got it. Changed. Yeah. Girl's a rock star.
But if, let's just say, if she were in that situation and she were still in freak out mode and she hadn't come and gotten coaching and gotten, you know, straight again, and she was on a good path. But in her mind, if she, or in her emotional being state, was freaked out, she might have gone completely 180, 180 degree opposite of everything we've taught her how to do properly, forgotten her core values, forgotten her, like, and just hired the next people with a pulse and totally gone against everything she knew was good for her and her organization and her team and all of that, right? She might have done that. And it might have even seemed, probably would have seemed logical to her in that state.
And then she would have spiraled because she'd say, I tried this and I tried that.
And she would have justified it.
So I've got it's going to sound like a dumb question, but I want to ask it all the people out there. So first of all, when you said, how did you feel when you made, what was your best decision you ever made? And Clean Nation, do this. Take a minute, because I just did exactly what Tracy said. I thought was the best decision I made right off the bat. My commitment to become a Christian and marrying my wife, like hands down, I felt great with both of them, like fan-freaking-tastic. So then what were the worst decisions? I couldn't think of a terrible one, but I could think of just the general feeling of grossness and like, oh, I hate, just exactly like you said, I hate it. And I was panicky and I freaked out. So here's the dumb question. As soon as you said, it seems so self-evident, like nothing, it wasn't like, what? Like, obviously, right? Why didn't I know that? And I think everyone out there, if you just did that exercise, think of the two or three best decisions you've ever made, two or three worst decisions you've made, how'd you feel? I don't think anyone's going to go, oh, I had a different experience. I think we're all going to go, yeah, my good decision felt great and powerful and amazing. And my bad is, so if that's the natural state, like you don't have to teach me how to breathe or eat. My body's like, I know how to do this. Why does our body reverse it? And we naturally go into this freak out mode, which feels like garbage. And then you would think if a coach or someone else or your husband or your spouse or a partner, but anyone comes to go, that's not helping you. Stop freaking out. Let's go over to Happy Town. We're like, no, I want to feel miserable and I want to complain. And you're like, well, obviously, because it works so well. You're like, no, it works terrible. We just discovered that. So why, A, is our natural state to do it backwards, to be in the worst state? And then B, how do we pull ourselves? Because I know I've gotten that fussy state where I'm like, screw you, screw the world. Everything sucks. And I don't want anyone to tell me different. A, why is it naturally we're reversed? And then B, when we're in that like muck, we'll do the easy one. How do you get out when you've got a good coach or a good spouse or someone that loves you trying to help you? And then the hard one, how do you get out when you don't have anyone? You got to do it on your own. So there. How do you like that for a tough question?
So there, coach on that.
All that, yes. Put that in your pipe and coach it. Let's go.
So the first answer to your first really important fundamental question, why is this such a thing as humans? Why do we do this to ourselves? So the really, really simple, maybe not so satisfying, but simple answer is this is an old sort of part of our brain, the limbic system part of our brain, that way back thousands and thousands of years ago kept us in survival, kept us alive. To be fearful and to act out of survival reaction to our environment was useful thousands of years ago when literally everything could kill us and wanted to kill us. But unfortunately, we haven't evolved that much in terms of that survival part of our brain being overly active for most of us. To make things worse, and before they get better, because I promise you, there's an answer, there is a better, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But to make things worse is we get into bad practices around survival behavior. And so it's reinforced in our parentage and the way we were brought up in our society. I mean, you think about it, look around, we glorify victims. We glorify people who behave helplessly and in reaction and drama and all of that. And so to a certain degree, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. Okay. So let's just let ourselves off the hook in this sense that we're all human.
And I like that. It's not your fault as an owner, but right, it is your responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
And I would say that's a distinguishing characteristic between owners and non-owners. Is non-owners are like, it's not my fault, whether it is or not, and it's not my responsibility. So we get paid for that. Kind of the buck stops here at the end of the day. You can bitch, you can complain. It's Indeed's fault. It's your dad's fault. It's the president's fault. It's whoever's fault. It's your husband's fault, your wife's fault. But at the end of the day, if you want a different outcome, there's one guy or gal, and it's the one that you sleep with every night, you know, your own self. So
as the one who's responsible, it actually does. And I will just say this too, there is a reward part of our brain that gets conditioned when we're in that negativity. So we think that the feel good chemicals in our brain only happen when we're excited and good things happen. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's actually not true. It sucks that it's not true, but we can actually.
Well, it's nice that it's not true, because if they only happened when good stimulus happened, we'd be dependent on the world to feel how we wanted to feel. But if it's not true, we have some dominion over how we feel. No?
Yes. But when we're less conscious, when we're not as conscious of that fact, Mike, what happens is that we get, quote, rewarded for being negative. And so you were asking, why do we keep doing it? Why, when we know this bad attitude and this bad feeling that makes us feel gross and we're frustrated, we're stressed, what is it about us, our brain, that rewards us for that? Well, there is a part that does, because that was survival, because it rewarded you for going, ooh, that doesn't feel good. I'm not going to eat those berries anymore because I saw Joe eat them last week and die. Okay. So there's a reward system, but we can.
So when you say reward, I thought you were talking about external reward, like
no, internal reward.
Negative people coming around and saying, yeah, it sucks. And you're right. And
well, there's that too, but no.
Right. So that's what I was thinking, but you're talking about something even more important internally.
Yes.
Our chemistry rewards us for beating ourselves up.
For being negative. Right. Exactly. And so that is an additional reason why mindfulness, you must become bigger than your chemistry, bigger than your patterns.
But when you say reward, for me, I think we all feel like garbage, right? So
there's
how does that reward hit? Because it isn't like I feel good. I feel crappy, but I do it. So I know there's got to be something in it for me or I wouldn't do it, right?
Exactly. So there are brain chemistry chemicals like dopamine that we get a hit on when we complain, when we bitch to someone else. There's an actual part of our brain that lights up and gets rewarded for that. And so chemically, rewards us. And so it keeps us in this survival pattern way longer than is good for us. And we know it consciously afterwards. We're like, oh crap, I did it again. I did this to myself again. Why do I keep doing that? Well, that's part of it. So there's two things. There's biological reinforcement that happens. There's social reinforcement for being a victim and complaining. And then there's the, well, it just feels better to not be responsible part of it. So that seems like a lot to like have to overcome.
At first I'm like, why would anyone do that? It's stupid. Now I'm starting to be like, how can anyone ever live differently? It's too powerful.
Right. Okay. So take a breath. Now we're going to talk about what to do about all that. All right. So the first thing is,
before we even get to the do,
yeah,
there's two categories. And again, it's easier when you have a coach or someone that cares about you that can see. Yeah. How do you identify it? Right. So for, and maybe you're going to start there anyway. I just want to make sure we don't miss that. And there's really two identities. There's the okay part, right? Like, I think it's okay. You can tell me if you feel differently, if I've had a bad day or something's going wrong. Taking a minute to just be like, this sucks and I don't like it and whatever, I think is cool. But it's that taking an hour, a day, or a week, that's not cool. So how do we kind of, and I think a lot of us just wander into that. And it's not like, bing, I know I've got a bad attitude, but I'm choosing to keep it. I think we just think, I'm being reasonable, I'm being practical, I'm being rational, I'm being a lot of things other than unhealthy and ineffective. So how do we recognize it to start?
So here's one really quick way. This is going to be deceptively simple and probably unsatisfying. Look at your results.
Those always work the best, by the way. The deceptively simple and unsatisfying typically are the most effective. So perk up. Go ahead.
The first piece of evidence that shows you whether or not you're just in a temporary, quick, like, oh, this is just a fleeting mood or reaction to something. It doesn't mean anything. Look at your results. If this is something that you have been feeling for more than a hot second, and there are negative consequences because of it, there are negative associations with it. So for instance, let's use our example. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to hire enough people. I've got new clients. I'm freaking out. Is that a temporary, quote, legitimate, just first reaction? Or is this feeling I'm feeling causing me by results, right? The results I'm getting is evidence that this way I'm feeling is not helping me. So how do you know? Well, look at your results that you've been getting. If it's continuing, if it's a problem that just keeps going and keeps going, that's a good indicator that it's time to change.
It's not like I feel this way every day, all day for the last year. But if I've been feeling this way on and off periodically for the last year, that would be a continuous, I'm making up stories that aren't serving me. Am I hearing you right?
Right. And if you're continually having hiring problems and every time you need to hire, this whole pattern comes back up and you feel stress and you feel pressure and you're freaking out, then that's a pattern and that's a problem, right? So now you can associate, that's really quick. That's an easy way to find it. It's like, what are your results? Look at the results. If the results are not what you want, then that's probably a good indication that the feeling, the emotion, the state that you're in is not as useful as it should be.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear, I don't think you can make, I used to think it was like intelligence or ability. Like you see these big CEOs of huge companies and I'm like, they must just be way smarter than me. And I'm guessing maybe there's some of that there, but I'm guessing until we're in a state to assess, to access our ability, makes no difference, right? If my five-year-old's throwing a tantrum, doesn't matter, or I'm throwing a tantrum or Elon Musk is throwing a tantrum, none of us are able to access any of it. So it sounds like I'm hearing you say you can't make a decision at a higher level than the state that you're in when you make that decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if your pattern has been, every time I feel this way, I get crappy results. And then the crappy results make me feel this way. And every time I feel this way, I get crappy results. Okay. That's terrible. A pattern. That's a pattern that you can be sure.
So how do
started
we,
and ends with your state.
Yeah. How do we, now, once we recognize it, which I don't think is unsatisfying at all. I thought it was simple, but frankly satisfying. So once I get it, I don't know about you, but I get that freaking, you know, toddler inside me. It's like, no, I don't want to, you know, admit that I am wrong or do something different. Or that sounds like a lot of work, or man, can I make excuses? Like, so how do you kind of have the adult enter the room and be like, okay, I'm in charge now.
So step number one is recognizing it. And I know that sounds simple again, but you can't change it if you can't recognize it. So you've got to almost, I use this like physical, like push away from the situation for a moment. Become an observer for just a second, just long enough to go, okay, I can't be in it and feel this way and access solutions. So you've got to push yourself away from it. I don't care. Walk, go outside, change your state, do something different, watch, play with your kid. I don't care. Whatever it takes to get out of that immediate state that you're in, that's got that vice grip on you, will not be able to make a difference until you break that state.
For those of you listening to the podcast, Tracy's physically putting her hands in front of her chest, pushing her hands away from her. She's in a rolling chair. She's almost rolling back. Obviously, right. You're trying to stay near the mic. And I've seen her and us do this live at events. And that is such an important part to physically, I forget who said it, but they said outside and slightly elevated from your problems. So like,
yes.
Like kind of, you know, that you see the picture of like, God's got the world in his hands. We kind of want to look like we are going to be the God of our own little problem here. We're going to put our hands and look at it and maybe even set it down on the table in front of us and take a step back and just like that physicality of not, don't just do the mental, like, right. Okay, I understand what she's saying. Do the physical, whatever that looks like for you. I am physically getting outside and slightly elevated from my problem and looking at it as a separate thing, as not this identity that I'm taking on.
And like in sports, back in the time when we used to play sports, Mike, your coach, when you got too heated about something, take a lap. Okay. Go take a lap. So we got to disconnect from the immediate situation so that you can shift and interrupt the pattern of that state. That's step number one. If you don't do that, you're done. Okay. You can't do it from the inside when you're in it.
Anthony Robbins gives a great example of going in the mirror, smiling at yourself like an idiot for 30 seconds and try and come back not in a completely different state. Try it. Because again, your body physiology has no idea. All it knows is when you smile, you're happy. So you can reverse it. We think when something happens that I like, I shall smile.
Right.
True. If you smile, your body doesn't know the difference and goes, oh, I think we're excited, right? So if you literally smile like an idiot in the mirror for 30 seconds.
And put your hands above your head.
Oh, yes. Hands above the head always feels great. Tracy and I are both doing it. Nice pit, sister. If you stand in the mirror, pits and all, smiling like an idiot for 30 seconds, it is, I'm going to go out on a limb and say impossible, if not nearly impossible.
It's very hard. It is very hard.
It's
physiologically a pattern interrupt and it's psychologically a pattern interrupt. So get yourself out of that state. And so
step one, identify that this is a pattern. Yep. Step two, change your state. You and the problem are not the same thing. You're separate. Your state is going to go from overwhelmed to outside, slightly elevated and excited, happy, smiley. You can do that with your physiology. And it's so fun to watch Tracy coach a room to do this, shoulders down, head down.
I know, right?
And then shoulders back, head up. And it's awesome to see the energy change. All right, keep going, girl.
Okay, so then step number three, this is where we work with our higher executive part of our brain. It's called the frontal lobe. It's the most new part, evolutionary-wise, of our brain. But this is what differentiates us from the Cro-Magnon man. Okay, we have the ability to think about what we want to think about. So I want you to immediately start questioning the stories you've been telling yourself. So if the story is nobody wants to come to work, oh my gosh, there's nobody out there, the government's paying, you know, blah, 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 right? Okay, that story, immediately you can examine it and go, all right, is that story helping me hire the right people that I want or not?
And get away from, oh, but again, I hate those people like my truth. They're like, I'm not a postmodernism where there is no truth, right? But many things are not true. They're just your perception. So
most
things. Yeah. Overwhelmingly most. So please don't hear me saying there is no truth. I absolutely believe in absolute truth. You can agree or disagree, but that's not the point of what I'm saying. Most of the things are just how we choose to interact with or perceive something. So Tracy might give me a look or a tone of voice at the beginning of the day, and I might go, she's mad at me. I don't like her. I never liked her. I might make up a bunch of stuff. And the truth might be she was just about to sneeze or is sick or had a difficult conversation with somebody else and was actually hoping I could give her some sort of encouragement. Since I don't know what the truth is, why not just choose to adopt a truth that is going to serve my goals, right? And again, I can't choose a truth that is not in line with reality, i.e. if I take cocaine 24 hours a day, I won't get sick. That truth is outside of reality. But the truth of that look that Tracy just gave me, I could assign to maybe she needs a loving shoulder or me to go make sure she's okay. That would be a truth that would serve me and probably Tracy. The truth I choose, she never liked me. I don't like her. She's always negative. She's a pain in the ass. Not going to serve me. So just be okay with knowing I'm not God. So there's most things I don't know. So I might as well just adopt and put on the thing that is going to serve me. Since I don't know what the truth is, I'm going to adopt the most effective reality for me now, as long as it doesn't, you know, jibe with actual reality, gravity, effects of drugs on our body, et cetera.
So absolutely. So there is a common misconception that we don't or can't choose our reality. That reality, and I do that in air quotes for everybody who's listening, reality is 98% what we perceive and what we make of it. So when Mike said that, it's like you get to choose a different version of what you're perceiving right now. So the perception you currently have that isn't working is the government's paying for everyone to stay home. And so nobody wants to work for me. Nobody wants to come to work.
Before you move on, I would go so far as to say the main differentiator, having been an entrepreneur for 25 years and coached thousands of entrepreneurs, between entrepreneur and, you know, quote unquote civilians, is entrepreneurs bend reality to their will. And yes, civilians follow entrepreneurs who bend reality to their will. So,
and bending reality starts with the story.
Yes. So there are people that work in a mine for 40 years, and God bless them. We need coal, and please don't hear me disrespecting any honest work, because they believe that's all they can do.
Right.
And to create, or they clean for 20 years because they think no one would, that's all I'm worth. Mm-hmm. And that ability, you can choose to believe employees will steal from me. I heard a guy that got sued and went out of business because his employee stole his customers. Who would want to work for me anyway? You could choose that set of beliefs, that reality, which is not reality. It's a reality you could choose, mm-hmm, just as easily as you could choose, people love to work for me. I love people and I love serving them. And they're going to pick up on that. And they're going to want to be a part of this. And it's going to be amazing. So really that's, in my opinion, and Tracy, if you got something different, let me know. But that would be the number one distinguishing characteristic between successful entrepreneurs and the rest of the world, is successful entrepreneurs are about certain things so pigheaded, no one's going to convince them differently, even if they're ridiculous, right? It's things like going to the moon, circumventing the earth on a boat back, you know, hundreds of years ago. Those were insane people, right? Back to the flat earth, you'll float off the end, right? But they were just like, I'm literally going to bend reality to my will. And that's the only way to change the world. So I just wanted to hit that because it's such a big deal. Sorry, Tracy. Oh my gosh. We are so close to, by the way, double episode. We had so much. We just took the time to do this. So let's tie a bow. One, identify it. Two, change your state, get outside and slightly elevated. Walk us through the end.
So the last piece is we just talked about choosing a different story that is going to serve the outcome you want. And then the very last piece is choose the state that goes along with it. So if you choose a better story, but you're still in a crappy state, it isn't going to work. Okay. So you got to choose the state and the story that align with one another and that are going to take you towards what you want rather than away from it. And as simple as that sounds, people still aren't doing that enough. If you do that, guarantee you, you're not going to stay stuck for long, because that's where you can access more knowledge. You can access more support. You access things that you already knew even, but you didn't have access to it in fear and in a bad state and a bad story. So there you go.
Let me wrap it up with a big encouragement. I have actually heard the same coaching, listened to the same tape, read the same book in a different state and got a wildly different outcome or takeaway. So for those of you like, holy crap, I am feeling something different. I am changing my state. I'm changing this. Just this podcast has made me look and feel differently about the world than I used to. If that is you, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We have done hundreds of episodes on all the tactical stuff, a lot of the mindset stuff, and maybe just pick a couple that maybe you've even heard before, but you're like, this is now going to be different. So if you want, go to growmycleaningcompany.com, take an action, sign up for our masterclass, join our Facebook group, listen, subscribe, take an action that you're going to do something different. And we just started something I want to give you guys. We just made available my text. If you guys want to personally text me and just say, hey, I can't do a bunch of deep coaching over text, but I certainly can encourage you, maybe ask you some questions, help you get into the state that you need to be in. Shoot me a text, 602-932-6431. I answer 100% of those personally. And or go to growmycleaningcompany.com, but take action, right? If you are feeling differently than you felt when you started this podcast, don't miss it. Don't just move on with your life. This is an opportunity. Pick an action of any of the things I said or something that you've got inside and actually take action and do it. Can't wait to hear how you do. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.